the clock is saying one thing, and I'm thinking another. I want to point something out to you this morning. I don't know if you've caught this, but this has been a very unique service this morning in my mind. Sunday school, we talked about heaven, and Darren opened up the introductory song with a song about heaven. We didn't coordinate that. In the worship time, Paul shared what God has laid on his heart, and he ended with the phrase something about that the world may see Jesus or something of that nature because of Jesus. The next song was Jesus Messiah. We scheduled Carla to come, a month ago or something like that, a number of weeks ago. I had no idea what the message was going to be on at that time. You changed your comments here from what I understood. And now her comments are feeding directly into where I was planning to go with the message. So I just really sense that God wants to speak to us this morning here. And so with that being said, we will not be ending at 12 this morning. And we're going to keep going. If you need to leave, feel free to leave. But I want to take the time that we need to share the message this morning. And I am very serious when I say if you need to leave, feel free to do that. No one will think bad about that at all. I'm going to try and go as fast as I can here, but also take the time we need to deal with this topic. Those of you who have been here the last couple of weeks know that I have been spending the month of January, and now we're going to go to the first Sunday in February as well. We're doing a financial series. It's entitled Finding Financial Balance. And ushers, there are handouts again this morning if you would like to pass them out while I do a little review here. I have just, it's been a long time since I've went through a series that I've enjoyed and had as much fun with as I have this series. And a lot of it is because it's taking principles of financial management that I've known all my life, and it's bringing Scripture to them, and it's tying the truth of God's Word into things that are practical in everyday life. But okay, let's real quickly do a review of the last 2 weeks, and we begin talking about this word balance and the three laws of balance. And before you put the slide up there, does anybody know the three laws of balance? Can you tell me one? Real quickly. I didn't think so. Let's do the... Oh, wait a minute. What? Focus point. Focus point is one of them. Cal, see me afterward, I'll give you a star. No, I won't. But yeah, well said. Okay, at least Cal remembers. Okay, so let's put that first slide out there. The three laws of balance. Determine your focus point. And so if you're walking the straight line, when you're pulled over by a police and he makes you walk the straight line or foot on the white line, I mean, you know, you got to have a focus point. That's why that works so well. They determine DUI because they can't focus. And you got to have a focus point. You got to clarify your purpose. And then you got to make constant corrections. And remember, I talk about Nick Walenda, tightroping across the towers in Chicago, and he had a balance bar. And when we talk about corrections, we're talking about the four areas that we are constantly doing this with to correct, to make sure we stay in balance. This morning, as we talk about this morning's correction topic, we're talking about what to do with the extra. And I will say this from the outset, and I want you to get this. So everybody just pay attention right now. Get this. If you build your finances totally on this one correction, if this becomes your obsession and your focus, you will become out of balance. You will become out of balance. And you will live a life out of balance and in a lot of guilt and a lot of frustration. I've been there. And this is true for all of them, but especially for this one here. Because I have struggled over these verses over and over again. God, what are you saying? And what you'll understand as we get going here. Second thing, okay, so we talked about these corrections, and now the second area that we introduced here is that the Bible doesn't focus on giving money. The Bible focuses on managing money. The Bible focuses on managing money, not giving. Giving is a part of manage, but managing is finding balance. So there's four areas of money: making money, saving money, spending money, and giving money. Okay? Focus point and purpose. What's the focus point? The question is, why do we have money? The answer is, everything we have comes from God. The purpose is to honor God with everything. Remember the saying, God doesn't want our money. He wants to make sure your money doesn't have you. And God doesn't want your stuff. He wants you. He wants you. So it's not just about money. It's about you. You. So we talked about some practical projects. And then last week we talked about managing debt. And we mentioned just a few things. We to recap, the way we manage money is a window into our heart. If you want to see what's in your heart, look at your check register. Managing consumer debt. We talked about that debt is bondage, and freedom comes when you get rid of debt. And debt really comes from a lack of self-control, which is one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. So as the Spirit of God works in your life, there's self-control is a part of that growth and that development. God does not want you in bondage. You ask in sincerity, seek the Lord. He will help you work through and get free from debt. And remember, we looked at this verse, Proverbs 25:28, like a city whose walls are broken down is a man who lacks self-control. Matthew 6, we ended with that text last week where it says the pagans run after these things, and basically we talked about it, that our culture is focused on possessions, and Jesus said, seek first His kingdom. Seeking after the kingdom of Jesus is first and foremost for the follower of Jesus. All right, little recap there, and now let's move to this morning. Correction number 3. I'm wrong. It's correction number 2. Do I have 3 up there? Whatever. I do. I'm sorry. It's correction number 2. Why do we call this a correction? Why do we call it a correction? It's because when you're in a walking and you're trying to stay balanced, you constantly need to be correcting. It doesn't mean what you're doing is wrong. It means that what you are doing must be constantly evaluated. You must constantly be evaluating this correction, this area. And so we always want to be correcting. Am I right? Am I right? And for those of you who are black and white, who want to get everything lined up and say, well, this is the way I do it, and I'll always do it that way, that ain't going to work, okay, in this area. You need to be one, you always need to be evaluating. Am I doing this right? Is this accurate? Okay. The correction we want to look at is what to do with our extra. What do we do with our extra finances, with our extra money, with our extra possessions? And I like this term. And again, this term actually, Andy Stanley used this term extra, and I snagged it from him because I really like it. Because what we do with our extra really defines who we are. The way you manage your money, remember we talked about this last week, is a reflection of our heart. So define extra. Define extra. What do we mean by extra? So how many of you, when I talked about extra, immediately began to say, thinking, well, I don't have much extra? Yeah, Okay. Immediately, you begin to think, okay, well, I don't have much extra, so I'm going to get all scot-free this morning. It's not going to apply to me. Let me redefine extra for you. Extra is you have three basic needs in life. Food, shelter, clothing. Right? And Carla, I'm sure you run into people who are struggling with those three basic needs. If you are struggling with those three basic needs, you don't have extra. If you have those three basic needs met, food, shelter, and clothing. Now, I'm not talking about designer clothing, nor am I talking about the house on the hilltop. I'm talking about food, shelter, clothing. If you have food, shelter, clothing, anything else is extra. So, if you go buy coffee at Wawa, that's extra. If you go to a movie or rent movies, that's extra. If you have an iPhone, that is extra. Lynn, I can't live without my cell phone. That is extra. If you have furniture in your house, that is extra. We really don't have to have it to survive. So when we talk about extra, it is everything outside of the three basic necessities of to live, and that is food, shelter, and clothing. So whether we feel we have extra, that's really based on who we are around. I don't know how many of you are following Ammon Miller's Facebook posts as he's in Nicaragua this last week and this coming week. And you know, he's talking about, at one time he sort of made a comment about how much it realizes again how much we have here. And if you've ever been overseas, you know how that works. You go overseas and you see the condition, you think, wow, we have a lot of extra. So our extra, the way we view our extra is really dependent on looking around and our worldview. Now, if you go to, last year, Jolene and I had the opportunity and were invited to a resort in Florida, which, all expenses paid thing, it's a long story, but we were there and we were really out of our comfort zone. Because these people had lots of extra. And I wasn't used to living or being in those type of settings. And I begin to think, I don't have so much. But we have a lot. And it all depends. If you begin to compare yourself with your neighbors, with John Jones down the street, whoever that may be, you will begin to realize, I don't have enough. I don't have much extra. I have no extra. Look at him. So extra really depends as we look around. So what we do with our extra defines who we are. And by the way, this whole thing of extra, this ties right back to last week when we talked about debt. There's two ways to increase your extra. You can either earn more money or you can borrow. One is slow, the other is woe. You know, that's why we focus on the debt. That's one of the balance things. And you don't want to go there. Okay. Let's look at some guiding principles. What the Bible says about what we do with our extra. Again, define extra for me. Yeah. Anything above food, clothing, and shelter. Okay. The Bible does not establish black and white guidance for our extra. The Bible does not establish black and white guidance for extra. And let's go to Luke 12. If you have your Bibles, we're going to spend a lot of time there this morning and looking at Jesus' teaching. And Luke 12, 13 to 14 says this. Someone in the crowd said to him, now Jesus again is speaking to a crowd of people, and someone said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or arbiter between you?" Here they were arguing over their extra. Two brothers. They had an inheritance here. What are we going to do with this? And they said, "Is it Jesus? Would you settle this argument for us?" And I love Jesus' response. Jesus said, "Listen, I'm not here to settle these trivial arguments that you're having about money. That's not what I'm here for." And then he proceeds to give them some foundational principles to deal with extra. And he addresses the whole crowd, not just this one man and his brotherly conflict. Jesus, why not, if he would have begun to lay out, if the Bible, let's do it this way, if the Bible would give us black and white lines of what to do with our extra, then it becomes a law, and we know what we do with laws, right? Rules. We press them as far as we can, and then we say, well, if I press a little bit more, maybe it won't break. Well, press a little more, and so as soon as it becomes a black and white line, it becomes a rule, Jesus is making it much, much more difficult. The Bible's making it much, much more difficult for us. He's saying, what you do with your extra comes out of our heart. It comes out of our heart. So rather than me giving you a black and white line and saying, if you do this, you're in my will, it's saying, listen, what does your heart say? And that means that each one of us will view this differently. That's why we call it a correction. Because as we grow and as we mature in our faith, we are going to correct this. We're going to reevaluate suddenly things that we thought we couldn't do without. Hey, you know what? I really don't need this. Evaluate, constantly evaluate. Now, Jesus begins with this. He says the first thing, he said the first principle. He says this, life is not about what we have. Life is not, does not consist of our possessions. Luke 12, verse 15. Then he said to them, "Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." This is really the philosophy behind greed, of my life consists of what I have. And so I don't have enough, so I want more. I want more to be more fulfilled in my life because I want my life to mean more, so I want more, I want more, I want more. And that's really the concept behind greed. But Jesus said, no, life is not about what we have, our possessions. This is a principle here that we live life with. Jesus tells a parable to illustrate this principle. And this is the parable. And he told them this parable, verse 16 of Luke 12. "The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, 'What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops.' Then he said, 'This is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool. This very night your life will be demanded of you, from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?'" If you underline in your Bibles, underline that phrase. "Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself but is not rich toward God." Remember I said that if you do not view this principle in balance with the rest of financial management areas, making money, giving money, saving money, spending money, if this is not kept in balance, you would look at this text and you would say, we need to get rid of every single one of our possessions because they're all extra. That's not what the Bible teaches. Let's keep going. "For this rich man, his life was all about his stuff. His life was about his stuff. So the third principle, that's a guiding principle for what to do with the extra, is this. Someone else will get your stuff. Luke 12:16-21 is the passage. The specific verse for that one is verse 20. Verse 20. Someone else will get your stuff. Not because someone, this rich man that Jesus is talking about in the parable, someone else got his stuff. Not because he was generous and gave it away, but because he died. Okay? This is not teaching against wise financial planning. It's not teaching against saving money. It's an area of correction. It's a heart issue. The fourth thing. So what is Jesus saying here? What is a guiding principle? Use your extra to be rich toward God. Use your extra, verse 21, to be rich toward God. Why? Because God has given you the talents, the opportunity, the time and energy to do well, to have money, to make money. And so remember the guiding principle, right? The focus point is that everything we have is God's, and we want to honor God with everything. So, use your extra to be rich toward God. What does it mean to be rich toward God? So Jesus continues teaching the same thing we talked about last week in Matthew 6. It's recorded in Luke 12 when he says, don't worry or chase after things. Verse 30, okay? Verse 31, but seek his kingdom and these things will be given to you. So Jesus is saying, our culture is about chasing stuff. Don't get caught up in that. Seek the kingdom of God. Jesus said, put God first and in your life, and the possessions will take care of themselves. Verse 32, he says this, do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Now, this is a huge principle, and this is one that I have struggled with in my life, and it's a lot because of my upbringing. My upbringing was very much about if you are frugal and conservative and a wise manager of money, wise money management is next to godliness. It was sort of the way, the mentality it came up with, I grew up with, or that I gathered as I grew up in my life. And the idea of God blessing was just, it was a little bit too much to comprehend. Look at verse 32 again. Is that up there? Do not be afraid, little flock. What is that saying? Do not be afraid. He's saying relax. 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 Little flock. We are insignificant compared to God. God has given you the possessions that you have. And part of the thing, we'll talk about it next week or maybe about making money and how to use the gifts that God has given you to make money. There's nothing wrong with that. It's part of God's blessing. Again, when it's taken out of balance, it's not good. You can get out of balance. It's an area of correction. We sing the song. I found it interesting, Carlo, as you prayed to open up here. You prayed, and you in your prayer you mentioned about God blessing us as a church, spiritually and financially. I think the words were that you used, and there's nothing wrong with that. Not at all. What are you going to do with those possessions that God blesses you with? Verse 33 and 34. Sell your possessions and give to the poor, Jesus said. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, A treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart will be also. Now let's look at this. Does Jesus say, sell all your possessions? No. No, he doesn't. He's talking about this way. When I take some of my extra, what does it mean to be rich toward God? When I take some of my extra, what is extra? Anything but that's some of our stuff. Some of our stuff. So we're not just talking about cash. We're talking about our stuff. When I take some of my extra and give it away, I am being rich toward God. When I'm rich toward God, I'm investing in treasure that will not wear out, will not run out, and cannot be taken out. That's really what Jesus is saying. He's saying when he's talking about these purses that will not wear out and treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted. I'm investing in treasure that will not wear out, will not run out, cannot be taken out. We talked about it last week. We buy things on credit, and by the time we have it paid for, it's already wore out. Jesus is saying, listen, take some of your extra, give it away. Give it away, and when you do, you are building up treasure that will not wear out. And I will tell you, how many of you would love to take some of your money and say, I'm going to buy something that I know will last me the rest of my life. It will never wear out. We would love that, wouldn't we? When we give money away, that's what we're doing. And we're going to receive the blessing, for the reward for that, the return on investment for eternity. Total loss. Every now and then you hear of a person who went through a crisis, bankruptcy, or a business, and they had a total loss. Total loss is when we think all of our extra is for our own use. If we think it this way, we're out of balance and we need correction. So you may be saying, extra? Me? Not a chance. I ain't got no extra. You don't know what it's like. This is hard words. The reason we don't have extra is because we think we can't live without the possessions we have. And when we get into the position of where we cannot live without the possessions that we have, we are now in the mentality of a life that consists of the abundance of our possessions. You see the circle. There's just a circle there. The two are connected. All right. Use my extra to be rich toward God. We've sort of left this open-ended here. Well, Lynn, what does that mean? What does that look like? How do I do this? Just about giving things away? It's a hard attitude. It's a hard attitude. You know, as we seek God, as we seek our relationship with God, the things of this earth will grow less and less important. Start viewing, giving. Oh, if you want a step-by-step process, how do I begin? You know, I'm in a financial debt. I'm in struggling. I can barely make ends meet. How do I even begin to start giving some of my extra away? I would encourage you to, first of all, think of giving as a spiritual discipline. Begin there. It is something the believer does, gives of the possessions. It makes a decision to begin to give. As you may learn to manage better, and as God blesses, it will become, there is more and more opportunities to give, and to be more and more rich toward God. As we grow, in our relationship with God, our heart desire grows to give and be rich toward God. It's an inner change that happens. And that's why I know we all want to know, well, how much does God expect me to give? The answer is, give out of your heart. as God changes your heart, you will find yourself giving more and more. You say, Lynn, my heart's not there. I encourage you to start recognizing it as a spiritual discipline and let it mature and grow into something where it comes out of the heart. Is that fair? Does that make sense? Very practical. All right. So the question is, how much of my extra do I give? How much do I extra? I know we're all sitting here thinking, well, Lynn, how much do I give? You know, what is enough? What is enough? Let's just give you some basic principles. God blesses generosity. Luke 6:38. Give and it will be given to you. A good measure pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. In other words, the more you give, and I will tell you, if receiving is your motivation for giving, you got go back to the heart. Okay? But yet there is this truth that when we give, you've heard the saying, you can't outgive God. That when we give, God returns. God returns in His blessing. Why? Because He's saying this. God can see God now looking down and saying, wow, I've given them this much. They're managing this well. They're giving as a portion of their extra. There's a balance there. And, well, they're managing it well. I can give them more. It's a biblical principle of the parable of the talents. All right, Proverbs 19:17. I got to keep going. We're going to wrap up here. He who is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and He will reward him for what he has done. I love that. He who is kind to the poor lends to the Lord. Carla, working with the poor in Nicaragua and Dominican Republic, she's lending to the Lord. I love that. When you give, you're lending to the Lord. Okay, God blesses generosity. Number two, choose to be a percentage giver. And I challenge you, figure out how much money you give. And this is the end of the year. I would really encourage you, look back. This is a practical application here. Look back in 2014, total up how much money you give. Most people think they are more generous than what they actually are. Most people think they're more generous than what they actually are. Look at it, say, okay, here's what I made last year. Here's my total of what I gave. What percentage am I giving? You say, well, Lynn, are you going to throw that 10% number at me? No, I'm not. No, I'm not, because it has to come from your heart. And I'll give you a classic illustration of that. I know an older couple, read about an older couple, know the family, don't know them personally, but I know the children. In a business, very successful business. And in their senior years, they had got to the point where they said 10% is the rule we want to live by. And they meant it that way. They lived on 10% of their income. They gave 90% away. And I'm saying, that's why you play the percentage game. Don't get stuck on 10%. Remember what we said at the very beginning. If we have the mentality that God wants us to give 10%, then that means 90% of the money is ours to do with what we want. Now, everything we have is God's. My challenge to you is this. Look at what you gave last year, what percentage it is, and say, you know what, next year, I'm going to try and do more because I want to invest in something that will not wear out. That's just for you. It's always risky when you use personal illustration and you're talking about money. But one of the things that Jolene and I have done for years, now the last number of years, I have struggled with this thing of giving. How much do you give? How much do you know? What's enough? I'm not saying we've done it right, but one of the things we've done is that we've determined that every year in January, we sit down and we look at what we've given last year. And then we turn around and we say, what's our goal for this year? What's our goal? And we actually set a number. And we go for it. And maybe I shouldn't be saying that. Again, it's risky using personal illustration. I'm just saying it's the way we do it. But I would highly encourage you, especially as couples, sit down and look at this and say, man, this is what God has done. How can we be more rich toward God here? What is God asking us to do? I shouldn't have said that, maybe. Anyhow, forget it. I done did. All right, number three. Generosity involves sacrifice. That's one of the things I really challenge myself on is, okay, how can I give so that it hurts? And every now and then, that is a good discipline to sacrifice. And, you know, giving is a privilege. 2 Corinthians 8:3-4, for I testify, Paul is writing, I testify they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own. They urgently, he's talking about the church that gave money to help their mission work. And he says, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing. The church, they wanted to share. I love that heart. Paul's got to love it too as he's talking about the Corinthian church. All right, last thing. The fourth thing. Generosity is worship. Generosity is worship. It's one of the ways we worship God. 2 Corinthians 9, Paul says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. There it is, out of the heart. For God loves a cheerful giver. The last thing is generosity begins with a step of faith. It begins with a step of faith. Worship team, you can come up. Generosity begins with a step of faith. We're going to end with a song. And its song is Knowing You. And it's just a song that begins with these words, of all I once held dear, built my life upon. Everything that I thought was important, all this stuff that I thought was so important in my life, I now count it all as lost because I know Jesus. I hope this morning this was a challenge to you through the Scripture, that the Scripture challenged you to look at your life and how you manage in your finances. And one of the areas of correction that you constantly need to be evaluating is this: how do I be rich toward God with my extra? How do I be rich toward God with my extra? For each of us, it's going to be different. We're at different stages in life. Take it seriously. Take it seriously. Because Jesus doesn't want your money to have you. He wants to have you. He wants to have you. Knowing You. Let's worship the Lord as we sing here and close. So Father, You've heard the words. We've shared Scripture, Your truth. And Lord, just take it and apply it. It's been a little rushed here in this message, but Lord, I just pray that You take these truths and drive them into our hearts. Lord, I pray for wisdom for each one of us here, that we would know how to use our extra. Lord, change us. Give us generous hearts. May we focus on eternal treasure. And Lord, may we never lose sight of the value that we have in knowing You. So we're going to end, Lord, with just a song of worship to You. It's actually, Lord, a song of commitment. This morning as we sing You as a congregation, I just invite you that as we sing Knowing You, if you just want to tell God, God, I really want, I'm grateful that I know You, and I really want to commit some areas of my life. I really want to be in balance in this area of being rich toward God. And come talk to Jesus about it. The altar's open here. And I encourage you just to, if God's been laying that on your heart, that this is an area you need to look at and work on, come talk to the Lord about it. Ask Him for wisdom in leading you. Stand with us. We're going to sing.